Our scripture text is Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. If you turn there, His compassions fail not is the title of our sermon. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, wrote in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Many centuries later, this man, this saint of God, Thomas Christian, was reading these passages, and he was inspired to write them into a verse. And there came the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That is a very wonderful hymn that is recorded in our Revival Hymns and Choruses, number 47. There he calls upon all nature to witness God's faithfulness in all circumstances, in all seasons, and in all ages. And he cites the pardon of sin, the peace that endures, the divine presence to cheer and to guide us through life's pathways. And he speaks also of daily strength and hope. Feelings of hopelessness often enumerates from God's blessings. He tells us that out of all the challenges and the vicissitudes of life, he says that God continues to be with us and continues to be we are our God. He says, and then 1,000 other blessings besides. So he closed the hymn with this prayer and praise on a personal note. He says, blessings all mine and Lord unto me. This was the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And at the age of 75, he wrote to his friend, he says this, my income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me on until now. But he says, I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I'm filled with astonishing greatness. As you survey the life of God's people, the saints of old, and all of God's people to this day, we cannot but see the faithfulness of God guiding each and every saint of God. The text from Matthew 15, verses 29 to 39, in the feeding of the 4,000, is a visual aid to reinforce the faith of God's people, that when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He, by His unfailing compassion, by His unfailing love, is able to take care of you, of all of us, through every life's pathway. In fact, in this passage, we would see the abundant compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. How He sends the rain and the sun upon the good and the evil, the good and the bad, the just and the unjust. John Calvin calls this the common grace of God. How God does provide His goodness to all. But His special grace He gives to His own people. And this we experience as a child of God. Two thoughts for your consideration. The Lord is my shepherd. Verses 29 to 33. And I shall not want. Verses 34 to 39. I would like us to consider and think and meditate as we study this passage concerning the visual picture of God's providing care in Jesus Christ upon our lives. Here you see God coming in person, speaking to us, and He meeting the needs of the people visually. And that is something that God wants us to have as a visual picture concerning the compassion, the faithfulness, the great mercy, and the ability of God to help us. So that when we are in any need, when we are in any trouble, we are willing to first go down on our knees and to seek for His blessing. This is the life of the Christian. This was the life of Jeremiah, the life of James, the life of Thomas Christian, and this is the life of God's people that we want us to learn and see. So our text open in verse 29 with a great crowd coming to Jesus. Verse 29 says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and from there He went up into a mountain and He sat there. Verse 30 says, and great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. The great crowd of men and women was a solemn sight to our Lord. It stirs within His heart the picture of a dying sinner. And that is the purpose of Christ coming upon earth. He is the great God of the universe. All things were made by Him. And how is it that He would come in the humble manner of human flesh? Well, He did that in order that He may help us to see how God desire that we be saved. And so, as you look at Jesus seeing the multitudes coming to Him, we see how He felt for the people. You see how the crowd came to seek for relief. They were all diseased. You see the various diseases that were described there. They were all in trouble. And each one of them is a physical ailment that indeed impairs and causes the person to be greatly disadvantaged. And you see him, you see the multitude coming. Not like today, with modern transportation. But each one of them having that physical ailment, imagine they have to, with their lameness, make their way up the mountain to seek Jesus. But because they were sick, because they were in trouble, because they knew that this man has the power to help them, they came to him. They were willing to go through long distances. Not an easy task to transport sick people. But the hope of being healed was so great in them that it causes this sick man to come through this long distance, in spite of great fatigue, to come to the Lord Jesus. And so you see here a picture of our great God and Savior that the multitude sought. You see here our great shepherd seeking to help the lost sheep. The sick man feels his strength failing, how his body is wasting away, and his face becoming pale. Appetite is losing him, is leaving him, and he knows that he's sick, he's ill, and he needs a physician. And he comes without delay, hoping for a cure. And so the people came to Jesus. But you see, in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was more than the physical ailments that he was concerned about. Of course, he was concerned to help them, to relieve them of the trouble that they were facing, right? Physical handicap, to be incapacitated, is great trouble. Remember the story or the testimony of the pastor who became blind. He didn't want to seek the will of God. God wants him to serve him. Father was a pastor. He decided that he would not, and he wanted to teach English. And so he was making his way to America. He sought the application in the Navy College to teach his language, Korean and English. And so he was making his way to go to California. And then he discovered that he was becoming blind. And it was a very gradual losing of sight. But he knew that he was losing his sight. And before long, he could not see, or he saw very little. And so he didn't want to tell his students. And he tried to read, as it were, memorize his class so that he could still have a semblance that he was well. But he was not well. He was fast losing his sight. I was reading his testimony, and what came into my heart is how sad it is for someone to lose sight. Imagine the whole world become dark again. And so you see here, one of them, the blind, came to see Jesus. And how the Lord Jesus was so good, he healed all of them. And for this man, he was not healed, as I read his testimony. Although he lost his sight and he became blind, but through the sight of Scripture, he was able to see God. And that healing of the soul, he expressed, was the greatest healing. Although he still did not was not able to see for the rest of his life. But there was a peace in his heart because he knew that he was connected with his Creator. And that peace that comes with the healing of the soul was more than the healing of the physical body. And he could describe how he came to a beach, and there he sat, and there was someone who was around and saw him and spoke to him. And he said, that how is it that you're able to enjoy the calmness of the breeze even without your sights? He looked at him and says, you know, somehow I can see the peace that is in you. So he shared of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was our Lord Jesus Christ doing when he was upon earth and when all these people came to him? Well, he was demonstrating to them his ability as the Creator of heaven and earth, the one that made us, is also the one that can remake us. And when we draw nigh to Him, we receive life from Him. We receive strength from Him. And we see here how the multitude came and how each one of them was healed. Jesus said in verse 32, I have compassion on the multitude. He healed them. And more than that, what did Jesus do? Well, they were hungry. They had been with Him for 3 days. They had nothing to eat. And Jesus said, I will not send them away. Jesus says that, I will have compassion upon them, and I will not send them fasting to their home. Verse 3 of Mark chapter 8, this is a parallel passage that gives us a little bit more description, the reason why Jesus would not send them home. He said this, lest they faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. So these people sought him, and he knew that they were coming from a long distance, and so he fed them. I remember this hall was used for maybe about 7 or 8 years ago for Chinese nationals. There would be 10 buses that would bring them on the evening service, and this place would be packed with 300, 400 Chinese nationals, workers. You know, and by 2 o'clock, there would be a group of people right at the back in the kitchen there, where we have our fellowship. They would start cutting and they would start cooking. So that when the message is finished, is completed, there would be a meal prepared for the 400 people. So week after week for many years, and there were testimonies of salvation, people who come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thrilled when I listened to all these testimonies, and there were others who were barbers or hairstylists. You know, they would help them cut their hair. What were they doing? Well, they were showing them in a very practical way the love of God. And this they did. And there were many who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many who were nurtured in the faith for several years. And many of them now are back in China after their time here. And there were still reports of how those acts of love touch the hearts of these people, and how they are ministering to the people, to their own people back in China at this time. Large costs, renting 10 buses to bring the people here week after week. And you know, this is a heavy ministry with great expenses every week. They have to cook every week. this has to be done. Well, it was a practical demonstration of the love of God. And here, our Lord Himself demonstrated to the people how He is that good shepherd. He is the shepherd of our soul. He is the creator and maker. And how when we draw nigh to Him, we receive not only healing, the healing of our souls, the solutions to the problems that we face. This second thought here, I shall not want, from verse 34 to 39, as we saw how our Lord would miraculously use 7 loaves and a few little fishes to feed the multitude. Verse 35 says, He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meats that were left 7 baskets full. And verse 38 says, and they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. Imagine 400 people. You need a big team of people cutting and cooking, you know, drivers, and the number of people serving. No joke. Very big group. Well, they all demonstrated in a very practical way the love of God in their lives. And this is what God would want us to do too, as His instruments of righteousness. Someone has said, when you have God with you, then God gives to you not just your need, but our text tells us He satisfies your very want. He takes care of you fully, totally. You can rely upon Him. Someone has said this. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not an appetite. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Luxuries, but not culture. Amusement, but not happiness. A crucifix, but not a savior. As you think about it, the things of this world really does not satisfy. But what truly satisfies and what truly gives us our being is our Lord Himself. And the Lord wants us to know, to go back to Him, our Maker. And God wants us, as an application of our text here, that we may realize all our needs, all our wants are satisfied, and the giver is God Himself. God wants us to realize that He is the one who created natural resources and natural laws. He says in Genesis 1:1, which we were studying with our catechism class, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. How He designed basic human needs. Your heavenly Father have knoweth that ye have all these needs, or you have need of all these things, Matthew 6:32. And how He gives to us wisdom and inventive ability. And how He sustains us by human strength and talent. How He gives to us, each one of us, the ability to get wealth. All this comes from Him. And God wants us to realize that He is the giver. And not only that, but He is also the one that controls circumstances. When we have Him, we have everything. The people of God, during the time after they return from exile into the promised land, they tried to work their hearts out, and yet their needs were not satisfied. Haggai 1:9 says, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it." It's as if they earned all their incomes, they put into pockets with holes. Somehow, they just don't keep whatever that they have. But God wants us to know that if you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you, then you can be assured that He will take care of all your needs. And this particular text is a visual picture of what God could do for us and what God will do for us. And God wants us to seek no other help, seek no other idols, right? Seek no other strength, but Him and Him alone. And the giver, the maker, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to realize this truth in our text today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Indeed, His compassions fail not. His love for us, His faithfulness toward us is enduring. And the people of God, all who would put their faith and trust in Him, would safely and assuredly testify of God's goodness. May this be our testimony too. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to come before Thee to acknowledge that Thou art the shepherd of our soul. Thou art a great shepherd, a good shepherd. And with Thou taking care of us, we have no lack. I shall not want. O Lord, we thank Thee for this passage that shows us how our Lord Jesus was able to create out of nothing, multiply with little resources to feed a multitude. O Lord, it is mind-boggling. We cannot understand how material is created and multiplied in this way. It defies human science, physical phenomena, and yet we know that our Lord, the Creator, is beyond this, and that He is the Maker who has brought all things to existence, and therefore He has that ability to take care of our needs. And so, Lord, may Thou help us to realize how great a God we serve. And in our daily life, may we see our sufficiency in Him, tracing all our needs to Him. And may Thou help us to rest content in whatever state that we be in our Lord, for all that He provides for us indeed is well and good for each one of us. Help us to learn to abase and to abound. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.